Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the IFL Network podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be recapping week 12 as well as looking ahead to week 13, and we'll also answer some of your questions towards the end of the show that you asked on Instagram at our Instagram page, the IFL Network. So we don't have a theme song or anything, so let's just get into it. Let's start with our recap of week 12 in the Indoor Football League. The first game, a Thursday night game, because San Diego just loves not putting butts in seats. They love scheduling games on every day except Friday or Saturday. So first game's on a Thursday. Tucson and San Diego match up for the fourth time of the season, and for the fourth time, the result was the same. Tucson defeating San Diego by a final score of 65-48. For Tucson, looking at statistically, Jake Medlock and Matt Barrett threw only 3 incompletions combined, but nothing overly impressive from the offense for Tucson in this game. I thought that their defense played extremely well, especially in the fourth quarter, obviously only allowing 7 points. But the turnovers killed the strike force. Jihad Vircher throws an interception. George Moriera fumbles the ball. Probably got a different ball game if those two things don't happen. But nonetheless, Tucson gets the win. They hang on to the 6th spot in the standings. San Diego's season is basically done. They got to win out and then get help the rest of the way forward. And we're going to talk about a little bit later, because it was one of the questions that was asked. We'll talk about the whole issue of them, Tucson being them, playing San Diego 4 times. Second game of the weekend, game of the year, absolutely Iowa and Quad City. Barnstormers win at 59-56. Daquan Neal goes up and over the Quad City defense at the goal line with no time remaining to get the win. This is now, from Daquan Neal, one of the best seasons in IFL history. He's finally getting into that category. He rushed for 6 touchdowns in this ballgame. That is tied for the 3rd most in IFL history. Threw for 4 more, 199 yards, no interceptions. And now for the year, and I should have had this pulled up, but I'm a terrible host and don't do enough preparation for the show. But now on the year, he has thrown 36 touchdowns against 2 interceptions, which is tied for the least amount of interceptions thrown in a single season. I did not think that we would see a season similar to that of Drew Powell's for Iowa last year for quite a while. And Daquan Neal is having a better season. He now also, on the ground, he's 4th in the league in rushing. He's rushed for 473 yards and 20 touchdowns. The 20 touchdowns lead the league? Yes, they lead the league. I mean, it's just unbelievable what this guy's doing. And he's got 4 more games to add to that total. Could see some serious records go down from Daquan Neal before this is all said and done. As for Quad City, they are just the victim of a really hard schedule. You hate to see it. You know, they, besides that game against Bismarck that they choked away, I mean, they've been a top 6 team in the IFL. I'd say they're probably the 6th best team behind the Blizzard and the Danger. I mean, it's kind of a shame that we're most likely not going to see this team in the playoffs. Again, E.J. Hilliard has thrown only 1 interception. Like I said earlier, the record for least amount of interceptions thrown in a single season is 2. So he might have a record on his hands. He leads the league in passing. It's a really fun offense, really talented defense. And if they can keep recruiting, they're going to be a really strong team going forward in future seasons. But of course, we're talking about this season. It's just kind of a shame to see how that's turned out for Quad City. They didn't do anything to deserve to lose. They just couldn't get it done. Daquan Neal was too much. Final game of the week, Sioux Falls Storm, Green Bay Blizzard. Storm defeat the Green Bay Blizzard 44-37 in that game. 7-point game that was kind of awkward, I guess you could say. It was just kind of there, if that's a possible thing to say about a football game. Keyshawn Taylor scores on a 5-yard touchdown pass from Lenoris Footman with 2:13 to go, setting up an exciting finish. But that was not the case. Green Bay kicked it deep, and Sioux Falls ran out the clock. This Green Bay Blizzard defense is really, really good. They held Lorenzo Brown under 100 yards passing. Kalen Campbell, 7 attempts, 9 yards, which is obviously fantastic. Lorenzo Brown, 11 carries, 57 yards, the first time he's been able to get outside the pocket and use his legs well in the last few weeks. 2 touchdown passes for Brown. Lenoris Footman threw a touchdown, or an interception rather, to Lorenzo White. That was kind of the big play in that game. And then that's kind of the deciding factor. So 44-37 victory. Sioux Falls improves to 8-2. They clinch a playoff spot after that win. Green Bay, obviously, losing. 6-4 is their record. Still in control of their own destiny for the playoffs. So if you were under a rock and you needed some catching up, that's what happened in week 12 of the IFL regular season. When we come back on the IFL Network podcast, we will preview what's happening in week 13 right here on the IFL Network podcast. Welcome back to the IFL Network podcast, everybody. Week 12 is in the books. We are moving on to week 13. All 10 teams are in action this weekend, and there are actual playoff implications on the line, not just for the teams that are in the top three to, you know, obviously clinch their playoff berths, but we might actually have eliminations this week, which is very exciting. We are going to see dreams crushed before our very eyes. So without further ado, let's get into it. The first game of the weekend is going to be this Friday, which is tomorrow, as of the time of this episode being posted. Cedar Rapids at Quad City. The River Kings travel to Illinois to take on the Steam Wheelers. Steam Wheelers need a win to really keep their playoff hopes alive, but not mathematically. They could lose and still make it. Cedar Rapids, on the other hand, must win. They must win and then have Tucson lose. So they need to win, which they have only done once this year, and then get some help. With that being said, this River Kings team is completely inept. They are really bad. They are really bad. And this is a home game for Quad City on a Friday night. And according to an article, I think it was the Quad City Times posted it, apparently Friday night was the biggest drawing evening for Quad City last year. This is the first time they've had a Friday night game this year. So that place should be rocking. And with that, Ben Wilkerson, if he does start for Cedar Rapids, is not very good. I don't know. I got Quad City by about 35 in that one. So an easy win for the Steam Wheelers. Moving on, Tucson and Bismarck. This is actually the game of the week. Not in terms of the quality of play on the field, but in terms of a game meaning something, Tucson and Bismarck means a lot. Bismarck is essentially chasing Tucson for the sixth spot. Tucson's trying to distance themselves from Quad City again, with Quad City most likely going to be in the win column this week. They're looking for another win to, you know, keep Quad City on the ropes. Bismarck looks competent finally after, God, they were just not good, and they beat Cedar Rapids And they've turned into a new ball club. Get the win over Quad City, lose a close one to Green Bay, and then they have the week off. So they are well-rested. Tucson obviously played last week, but on a Thursday, so they had a long week to prepare. But with that being said, Bismarck, they're stingy. They've got a solid defense. There's nothing overly impressive about it, but they're just stingy. And they're at home, and I think they're going to get it done. A really close ball game, but I think Bismarck gets the win and makes the playoff chase much more interesting. I'm not going to say that because there's a lot of good games. There's two games on the schedule that are both going to be fantastic. The first one that we're going to talk about is the Danger at the Storm. The Nebraska Danger are, I think, the most talented team from a football standpoint, not an indoor football standpoint, but I think if you played outdoor football with each team in the IFL, I think the Nebraska Danger would probably be the best team. They are uber talented. Why that hasn't translated to victories this year, I don't know. Earlier this week, they released Robert Haynes, a linebacker, veteran linebacker from the team. Surprising move, I thought. Lots of injuries for Nebraska. Najee Bright, leading tackler on the team, is out for the year. Sioux Falls, they look to be making all the right moves at the right time. They go out and sign some defensive backs to help with the depth there. And then right as soon as it looks like they've got the strongest secondary in the league, Matt McCoy is now out for the year. With that being said, the Danger could possibly fall down to the sixth spot if Tucson wins and they lose, and I think that they are going to wind up losing. Sioux Falls looks to be in playoff mode now. Lorenzo Brown, I expect a big game from him. Going to be a back-and-forth contest. I got Sioux Falls winning. Then we've got another really intriguing game, Iowa and Green Bay. If you've been paying attention at all, you know that Green Bay can clinch a playoff berth for the first time since 2012 this week. I think that might be the longest playoff drought in the history of arena or indoor football. It's got to be the longest in IFL history because you don't have six losing seasons in this sport and keep drawing well enough to stay in business. Somehow the Blizzard have really strong defense, but the only problem is Daquan Neal, and he is just a monster right now. He is going to go off again. I mean, he has become the hottest ticket in the IFL, if there is such a thing. If there is a must-see player in the Indoor Football League, it is Daquan Neal. Like I said in the first half of the show, did not think we would see a performance in a single season like Drew Powell for a long time, and he might have a better season than Powell did last year with the Iowa Barnstormers. Barnstormers win a close one. It's going to be a low-scoring game, I think. I think in the end, the Iowa secondary is going to get to Lenoris Footman, force him to make some mistakes in the fourth quarter, and Iowa will win by two touchdowns. Final game of the week, Rattlers and Strike Force. Why waste time? If Drew Powell plays, which I'm hearing from inside sources close to the Rattlers organization that he may not, that's how confident Arizona is coming into this game. It might be Jeff Ziemba the whole way and use Drew Powell as needed. It doesn't matter who is playing quarterback for Arizona. It could be Lamar Mady. Arizona is going to win by 83 points. So that is what's happening in week 13. We'll wrap the show up when we come back with some answers to your questions that you asked on Instagram. You're listening to the IFL Network podcast. All right, everybody. So we're going to wrap the show up with some of the questions that were asked on the Instagram page at the IFL Network. We're going to answer some of the questions that were asked to us. So, anyway, I think the first question and the one that is on a lot of people's minds after last week is the overscheduling, I guess, of the West Coast teams. So Arizona plays Tucson and San Diego four times for a total of eight. Tucson plays San Diego four times. Basically, the argument is Arizona and Tucson have an easier schedule. There's no real way of, I guess, you can't say it's unfair, because you had no idea that San Diego was going to be good or bad. They're an expansion team. You have no idea. You had no idea coming into the season Green Bay was going to be this good. We had no idea coming into the season what Tucson was going to be. Were they going to be good? Were they going to be bad? Were they going to be great? And in a league where money is so tight and margins mean so much, to complain about a team having to save money, basically, is just preposterous. You aren't a fan of the league. Yes, would it be great for the teams to play even schedules? Of course. But that's what is being worked towards. As more teams head towards the West Coast, they don't have to be on the West Coast, but as they progress more towards the West, you can't have a team from Cedar Rapids paying to go to the West Coast six times a year. They can't afford it. Not even a team like Sioux Falls that is consistently drawing large crowds can afford it. You can't argue that. As for some of the other scheduling quirks, I read an interview with Michael Allshouse, the IFL commissioner. When it comes down to it, the IFL is not a priority of arenas. You're getting whatever open dates are left. And because of that, you're not going to get every matchup we want, i.e. Arizona and Iowa this year, in the regular season at least. We've been fortunate enough that we've gotten Iowa and Sioux Falls, we've gotten Arizona and Sioux Falls twice. But in terms of the whole Arizona has an easy schedule, Tucson has an easy schedule. Okay, but there was no way of knowing that. There was absolutely no way of knowing that. And now it's done. At least on Tucson's end. Arizona's going to beat whoever they play. Alright? I mean, that's just how it is. It didn't matter if San Diego was a 500 team. They're going to beat them. It just so happens San Diego's not very good. So that whole argument that it's unfair, you know what, when we get to the playoffs, it's not going to matter, because we're going to wind up having the best team win. That's why we do the playoffs. That's why we don't do it off a regular season title. We're going to get to the playoffs, we're going to see who the best team is. Another question that was brought up, or I guess kind of the thought of it, Quad City over Tucson for the sixth seed. Quad City obviously has had a tougher schedule. They've been at times a better team. Tucson has not won a game against a team with more than two wins. Their wins have come, four of them have come from San Diego and one of them against Bismarck. They're taking on Bismarck again this week. Quad City is the better team. They just are. But, so I think every IFL fan that's not a Sugar Skulls fan would like to see Quad City in over Tucson, including myself. Will it happen? I don't think so. The other thing that was brought up, another thing that was brought up, was the 2019 IFL Hall of Fame class. The finalists have not been announced yet. There has been no word on when that will happen. The player that actually reached out and asked the question was Tyler Knight of the Sioux Falls Storm. in my opinion, the greatest defensive player in IFL history, if he is eligible, which he believes that he is this year, because Pig Brown and Jamil Sewell were inducted 2 years after they retired or played their final IFL game. He's 2 years removed from the league. So I think he is definitely a candidate. I gotta be honest. Well, not even a candidate. I think he's a shoo-in. I gotta be honest, though. I really don't know off the top of my head. Maybe Brian Prey, wide receiver, who is all over the IFL record books and receptions. Those are really the only two that come to mind immediately. I hope the IFL releases it soon. Or the finalists at least soon. That way we get a good idea of who is eligible. But yeah, as of right now, I go Tyler Knight and Brian Prey. Those are my shoo-ins to get into the IFL Hall of Fame. Anyway, guys, that'll do it for the Week 13 preview of the IFL Network podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at the IFL Network, on Twitter at the IFL Network. Visit our website at theiflnetwork.home.blog. And we will see you next time on the IFL Network podcast.